One of the things about Christmas time, of course, are all the specials on TV. I sort of miss seeing It's a Wonderful Life. A few years ago, probably from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it was on television on different stations probably a half a dozen times or more every night. For some reason, it seems a little harder to find these days, but it is on. Some of the other specials that we see, of course, are How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Charlie Brown's Christmas, and the story of Christmas Carol, which was originally written by Charles Dickens. In these stories, though, we see how the human life is changed, how the heart of the human being is changed, and the people receive the true Christmas spirit, and how they're changed because of the Christmas spirit. In the movie, or in the story of Christmas Carol, we know that Ebenezer Scrooge is a grouchy old man who doesn't like anything about Christmas, and he even attempts to make his workers work on Christmas Day. But of course, because of the visitation of three spirits, the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future, he has a changed heart, and he wakes up and is able to rejoice in Christmas and share that joy with others around him. In the story of the Grinch hates Christmas. He hates the joy and the celebration for some reason. He has a hardened, small heart that it shows us in the end. And as his life has changed throughout the whole story, he realizes there's more to Christmas than what meets the eye, and his heart's changed, and so is his life. And everyone else around him is affected by his changed attitude. We remember in the story about the birth of Jesus, how Herod was so evil and how he sought to kill this newborn king, and what he did. He truly didn't have the spirit of Christmas or the Christmas spirit in him. I want to talk a little bit this morning about what that Christmas spirit really is. We read in the Bible from front to back about God's spirit. And one thing we have to understand is God's spirit is not a source, a power source. God's spirit is a person. The first time we read about God putting His Spirit in someone is in the story where God filled Bezalel and Oholiab with craftsmanship when they were to build the temple, or to build the tent. Okay, God filled them with His Spirit and gave them the art of craftsmanship to be able to make the gold things that were needed for the worship in the temple or in the tent. We read of God's Spirit being part of creation, creating the world. So God's Spirit was evident from the very beginning and is evident all down through time. God's Spirit, we read though in the Bible, gives people abilities to do things, supernatural things that they normally cannot do by themselves. God's Spirit fills people and changes people to be someone they are not originally born to be. And God's Holy Spirit was part of all that happened at Bethlehem. God was in complete control. God was moving in the lives of people, changing people's lives and their hearts, putting them in place, preparing the world for the birth of the Savior and the King that was to come. The Bible tells us in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. Everything was in place. The whole world was ripe for this birth. The Roman Empire had established roads and communication systems that would have made the gospel spread so much faster, and the story about a newborn king spread throughout the whole Roman Empire. The Greek culture, which had infiltrated all that area of the world at that time, had given people the understanding and the reasoning and the thoughts to better understand what this meant for the whole world about the birth of the King or the Savior. And of course, God gave His prophets that we read about in the Old Testament that time and time again, even though they pronounced judgment on God's people for turning away from God, told them that a day was coming when God would redeem His people, Jacob or Israel. He would redeem them and draw them back to Himself. And the world was ripe for that. And as it came down to the very last few months before this would happen, it tells us that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, a little town, a nothing town. God sent his messenger to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. Now, Luke is a doctor, a Gentile doctor. He's writing because he wants people to know the details of how God worked in the lives of people to bring this about. God sent the angel Gabriel to a virgin. Why a virgin? Because God chose to do it that way, and God foretold through the prophets that a son would be born through a virgin. That the Messiah was going to be born through a virgin. That was important to the day for several reasons. First of all, the Messiah was to be the Son of God. He was to be divine. If that was going to happen, the seed that was sown in Mary would have to come from some place other than a human being. Because you see, in the fleshly nature, sin was passed down since the day of Adam and Eve. And everyone that was born in sin. How could the Son of God be born in sin? So God, through His Holy Spirit, sent His seed into the virgin womb. This seemed impossible. There's no way this could happen. Luke, a doctor, wants to make it clear that God sent the angel Gabriel to tell Mary, a virgin, that you're highly favored, that God has chosen you, and He's with you. She was troubled by this. You know, here this little peasant woman was, young in age. An angel of God comes to her and says, you're highly favored, the Lord's with you. She was probably scared to death at the sight of this angel. And it said she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, don't be afraid. When you read of God speaking to people, especially in the Christmas story, God's message is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. To the shepherds, don't be afraid. To Mary, don't be afraid. To Joseph, don't be afraid. I'm in control. Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. In fact, you'll be with child and give birth to a son. You're to name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. He'll be great. He'll be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. That's exactly what the prophets had foretold about the Messiah. Imagine how this little peasant girl felt when the angel of the Lord stood in front of her and said, Mary, this is all going to happen through you. Huh. Troubled? I can imagine the girl was troubled. In fact, she said, how will this be? She wasn't doubting. We have to understand this wasn't a doubting attitude, that this can't happen. She was inquiring, how will this be? How will this be, since I'm a virgin, that I'm going to have this child, that I'm going to bear the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, and how God's going to be with him? He's going to sit on the throne of his father David, which meant he would have to come through that lineage. And the angel answered, why, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The only way that the Holy One that was going to be born, this boy was going to be born, the one who was going to save his people was going to be born, is if God took the initiative and sowed the seed himself. And the angel said to Mary, this is going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the angel said, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She, the one who was said to be barren, is already in her sixth month. And the angel said, because nothing is impossible with God. And what was Mary's response? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel of the Lord left her. So here this little peasant girl was. She had a truly divine encounter. a Christmas experience, so to speak, where the Holy Ghost, the Christmas Spirit, came to her through the angel of God and spoke to her. And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." In the King James Version, he's called the Holy Ghost. This word holy meaning sacred or consecrated. The sacred consecrated ghost, or the Hebrew or Greek word, implies a breath, like a breath of wind. The breath of God, the sacred consecrated holy breath of God, is going to come upon you and overshadow you. Now, you know, if we're overshadowed by something, if we're sitting in the shadow of a tree, we are subjected to that tree, aren't we? We are under the influence of what that tree is able to do, and that's provide shade. So when the angel said to Mary that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and the Most High is going to overshadow you, he was saying to her that you are going to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to achieve this. God's going to put His Spirit inside you in that seed form. And from that influence, from that shadow, from that power, you're going to have a son. That's the true Christmas spirit. We say, "Well, gosh, that's impossible." Nothing is impossible with God. You see, the true Christmas spirit reminds us 365 days a year that nothing is impossible with God. The Christmas spirit reminds us, especially at Christmas time, that something impossible happens. Something beyond our human acknowledgement or understanding and reason. Something supernatural and something divine that we can't understand, but actually became a reality. God foretold it. God in those last months and days was working all over the place in people's lives, saying, "This is coming. Get ready for it. It's coming soon." Because nothing is impossible with God. And if it's one thing that the Christmas spirit reminds us all of, if it's one thing that the Christmas spirit reminded the Grinch, or brought about in the Grinch, and brought about in Ebenezer Scrooge, is nothing is impossible with God. Now we see all kinds of people in the world that don't have the Christmas spirit. They're running around bah humbug. It's just another holiday. Just another day of the year. Oh, it's just for the Jews. Folks have heard me talk about people with that kind of attitude. Oh, it's just for the Jews and the kids. It's really sad to see people that don't have that Christmas spirit. And you know, we all feel that way sometimes. We all feel a little humbug about Christmas. We get wrapped up in the traditions and in the having to buy fours and the having to do because so-and-so is coming over or having to be part of. And we just don't seem to have the energy this year. But you know, somehow it happens. Christmas comes and Christmas goes, and somehow it all happens. It happens by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the true Christmas Spirit that gets the impossible done. And it doesn't matter whether I got that brand new iPod. It doesn't matter whether that new bike's under the tree or not. It doesn't matter whether the turkey was the perfect temperature or whether the mashed potatoes were cold or hot. That doesn't matter. That's not Christmas. Christmas is all about right back there. That the angels proclaimed it. That the Holy Spirit came upon these people and encountered them and changed their lives forever. Everyone's life was changed because of this. The angels were changed. Humanity was changed. The earth was changed. The curse that was upon the earth was now released. The people living in darkness have now seen a great light. Those living under the law are now free from the law.
And that's you and I.
Because of the Christmas spirit
coming upon and overshadowing the person that God chose.
And I hope and pray that during this Christmas season, in some way, somehow, this seems impossible, the Christmas spirit, the Holy Ghost, the sacred, consecrated breath of God breathes into your life in a way that changes your heart. That He comes upon you and He overshadows you so that you are so influenced by Him that when Christmas comes and the lights are put away, the trees put away, and everything's in boxes, you're changed forever. We say, well, why me? Mary said, why me? How will this happen? We don't know, but it happens because God chooses to do it in special ways. The Christmas spirit doesn't come from a bottle from the state store. The Christmas spirit doesn't come because of a new freshly fallen snow on the ground. Although they kind of have a way of speaking to us, these things. The Christmas spirit doesn't come because of a box of Whitman chocolates, although it really makes me feel a whole lot better. The Christmas spirit doesn't come because everything that we want to buy for our kids is on sale when we go to buy it. There's all these little things that serve to heighten the Christmas atmosphere, I want to call it, and the celebration. But you know, folks, there's no way that anything in this world can ever bring the Christmas spirit into our lives like the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And in every case, when God's Spirit came upon people at Pentecost, God's Spirit came upon people and rested upon them and changed them, gave them the ability to do impossible things, changed the whole world forever. It's our time. It's our day. It's Christmas 2010. And the Holy Spirit's not dead. He's alive. And He's alive forevermore. And as He changes us and transforms us through this Christmas season, we have a message to share, because we too are changed people, being part of God's great plan in this great season of Christmas. Let's pray.